Okay, another edition of Addiction and Redemption. Addiction and Redemption, coming to you without a microphone, so the sound's not going to be that good, or as good. The sound is actually pretty good no matter what, but I'm going to go ahead and blame it on Apple, because Apple has, I got a new Mac in like March or April, and the new Mac, it's got these, you know, it doesn't have a normal USB. Like, that would be too easy. So you've got to get this adapter that the USB plugs into. And so they've just complicated it. And the adapter that has the USB port that plugs into the Apple is just one of those things that's, you know, the easiest thing in the universe to lose. It's just ridiculously easy to misplace. I've misplaced it several times. And it's one of those things that you will eventually find it, but not when you need it. So hence, Addiction and Redemption proceeding without a microphone, because I can't find the adapter, and I'm not going to give Apple the satisfaction of buying another $25 adapter from them. That's a whole other story, my opinion on Apple. My opinions in general are a whole other story. We could start a show called My Opinions. You could have a show called Your Opinions. But anyway, we're moving forward. Thanks to the new listeners, I really appreciate. I've gotten some really great feedback from people who have just recently started to listen to the show. One woman who polished off all 50-something episodes in the course of just a few days. So that's really cool. I always appreciate binge listening, speaking of addiction. So we're just kind of moving along. I just wanted to talk about just more about surfing, right? So a lot of these stories have two and three parts. And, you know, Colorado had three or four parts, and OxyContin had a couple of parts, and heroin had a few parts, and my trip to Cook County Jail had a few parts, and the Japan story had a few parts, and those are all bad parts to bad stories. And now we're into good parts of good stories. So surfing is like my new obsession. It's this thing. It just captured my soul. And I mentioned the first time I went surfing was August or early September of, I think it was 2008. Yeah, it was towards the end of 2008. So I made it all the way through the winter there and then found myself on the beach in the summertime. And now fall's coming in and there's starting to be these waves. And my friend Kevin, he's given me a surfboard and I'm starting to surf. So I had my first day surfing at, I think, the beginning of September. Right. So the next time I went surfing was the next time there were waves, and that was right around Thanksgiving. So this is the problem with surfing on the Great Lakes. There's not that many waves. So meaning the intervals, the days, weeks or months that go by between a good surf day can be a lot. So you might have one or two or three weeks or two or three or four or five or even 6 months in between surf days. So that's, you know, kind of what led me out here, is because I like to go surfing whenever I feel like it. And so that's kind of one, although surfing on the lake is really fun, it's inherently frustrating in the sense that you don't really get to go that often. There are guys that really work the Great Lakes surf phenomenon, and that they'll travel all up and down the both sides of Lake Michigan, and they know how to read the wind patterns, and so they'll travel. You know, there are guys who will drive 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours to catch, you know, a couple of a 2 hour window of waves. And there's this one guy named Brian who I know, he's posting pictures on Facebook of these secret spots that he knows about that nobody else knows that he goes to. And he's the only one surfing at them. It's just him. And there are Great Lakes explorers who are just on these missions. Excuse me, missions to read the lake and to experience the surfing that happens all over it. But when you know me, I got a job. I'm in Chicago. I can only go when the waves are near Chicago. So anyway, the second time I went surfing was, like I said, I want to say November. Now, I mentioned in a couple episodes ago that Liza and I had permanently parted, and when I thought about it, I realized that we hadn't. Because the second time I ever went surfing, I woke up at her apartment. So we were kind of off again, on again, on again, off again. And I woke up at her apartment where I'd spent the night, and I had a wetsuit with me that my friend Kevin lent me. And I can't remember why he had me transported from. There was some reason, but I had the wetsuit, and he actually picked me up downtown. And we drove all the way to Miller, Indiana, by the Indiana Dunes. And so this is, it's about, I don't know, it's maybe about 70 minutes from Chicago. It's not that far. But we had to drive for, you know, 70, maybe at the absolute most an hour and a half, but it's not that far. And then we had to hike. There's like a probably at least a solid mile walk slash hike along the beach that you got to walk to get to this spot. And the name of the spot is Lake Street. And it's a trek. I mean, it's just not easy to get there. It's a very long, very cold walk. And that day it was snowing and it was gray and it was cloudy. And it was just like one of those burly, uncomfortable late autumn days, you know, when the snow's starting to come in and it's just, excuse me, it's just kind of nasty. I got bronchitis, so bear with me. And it's just this kind of just nasty Midwestern day, you know, not too much redeeming going on with this day, unless you're into like hanging out inside, drinking beer and watching football, which I've never been into. So he lends me, I don't have a winter wetsuit at this point. My friend Kevin just gives me this old 3mm wetsuit from like the 90s. It was like this kind of colorful, bright, fluorescent orange wetsuit. And then he gave me like another wetsuit to put on top of the wetsuit. And then he gave me like a hood to wear to keep my ears warm. And then he gave me like, I had these kayaking boots from my summer's kayaking in Fort Collins or in Colorado. And they were like 2mm. That probably doesn't mean anything to you. They were very thin neoprene. So they weren't designed to insulate. They were more just designed to protect you when you're in the river. And so I'm just kind of like piling on whatever type of neoprene, whatever kind of neoprene garment I can find. I'm just putting it on. So I got like a wetsuit with this other wetsuit on top of it and this hood and these gloves, and the gloves are all leaky. He just gave me all this hand-me-down stuff. And it wasn't enough. It just wasn't enough. And I'm just thinking, like, I'm thinking optimistically. I'm not thinking of I'm not thinking about the fact that cold water can really just change everything really fast. That the power of positive thinking is only going to go so far when you get put into, like, really cold water, you know? But it's snowing, and we walk all the way to this spot. There's actually a surf contest happening in, you know, what is, it's basically Gary, Indiana, just outside of Gary in Miller, Indiana. So there's basically this, there's a surf contest happening in Gary, Indiana, right? Home of Michael Jackson. And there's these guys, and they're like really shredding. And these waves are very, very, very big. So they're like, we're talking 6 to 8 foot faces, maybe even bigger. I couldn't believe how big they were, and it was a terrifying scene. It was complete and total chaos, because I had really no clue what was going on. And there's all these guys, and there's guys in colored jerseys, they're competing. And excuse me again. And it was just this very, like I said, chaotic scene. And I take this board. This is the second time I've gone. I take this board and I'm trying to paddle out, and these waves are just completely and totally destroying me. And I kind of make it a little way out. I'm paddling out maybe 50 yards and this wave breaks, and it just, this guy in front of me just gets completely wrecked and just tumbles on top of me and like kicks me in the face, and I don't know what's going on. And it's just like immediately I realized, like, this water is cold. I mean, it's cold and the air is cold, right? So even though the water is technically warmer than the air still, it's like really cold. And I immediately get this like ice cream headache, like a headache that you get from ice cream, but kind of like the full body version. Like all of a sudden I kind of start hyperventilating. And so in other words, I was going into hypothermia. And you know, Kevin's positive thinking and my positive thinking regarding the wetsuit stuff I had on, it didn't work, and it's just leaking all over the place, and there's this water pouring in and the wind is blowing on the water, and then I'm getting just wrecked in these waves. And I think I brought my jacket, but I didn't bring enough clothes anyway, so I'm just like shivering uncontrollably. Like, I'm basically in the level of shivering that is It's the kind of shivering that's designed to have you not die by having you generate movement that generates heat. That's what's happening with me. On this gray day in Gary, Indiana, at this secret surf spot where this surf contest is happening. And there's all these guys shredding. And I'm just, I realized right away I couldn't even be in the water. So I just had to get out and kind of watch. But through all of this agony and through all of this, like, pain and this freezing cold that I was experiencing, this like bone, literally bone chilling cold, like my bones were cold, you know, there are these guys shredding and I'm just more and more obsessed. I'm just like, no fucking way. No fucking way am I not learning this shit. No fucking way am I not going to be that good. So through the shivering, there's this commitment presenting itself. You know, I mean, one of the things we say in coaching is choose from your commitment, not from your circumstances. And so if I had chosen from my circumstances, it would have been like, that's too cold. I'm done surfing. I don't want to surf in the winter. It's, what are you, insane? But the commitment said, no, no freaking way. You were born to do this. You were born to surf. And I knew it. And so from there, choosing from that commitment, the first thing for me to do was when I got home was to get online and order a wetsuit. Order a nice warm winter wetsuit. And they actually make wetsuits that are 6 millimeters thick that – excuse me, 6 millimeters thick that that keep you actually toasty warm even in the dead of winter. And so that was one of the first things that I did when I got back. But just experiencing what I did that day was exhilarating in and of itself. It was just like, it was just this amazing experience. And I actually found out later that that particular day was one of the best days that they ever had, that anyone remembers in the history of the Great Lakes, in the history of surfing on the Great Lakes. So it was, it's like a shame that I didn't get to experience it. Cause I do remember getting out to where the waves were and looking at this guy and saying, I wonder what surfing on the ocean is like. And he said, this is exactly what it's like. And thinking back, like, I mean, even the big days I've had here in the ocean, they weren't that much bigger. They weren't that much bigger than that day was. And it would have been, it would be amazing to be able to go back to that day and really experience it as a good surfer. But so this is, I'm just getting more and more on my way here to becoming a real surfer. And then I remember getting back and, you know, my buddy Kevin's really smart with gear and stuff. And so he recommended a specific type of wetsuit to get. And I got online and ordered a wetsuit. And I got it in the mail just a few days later, and it was like one of the most beautiful things I'd ever put my hands on. I can't describe it. It was like a Superman costume or something, but it wasn't really a costume. It was like real. It was like having a real Superman uniform. And it's so funny because I would like put the thing on and just like stare at myself in the mirror wearing it and be like, this thing is the shit. I can't wait for the next day. I can't wait to get back in the water. So now I've got this wetsuit, you know, and now I'm just waiting for the next day. And this surfing thing is for real and ain't nothing gonna stop me. And so one of the things I bring up with my clients is like, what are you committed to in life? You know, really, like, what's the thing that that grabs you in such a profound way that your commitment will lead you toward the fulfillment of it? You know, and sometimes it's tricky because people don't have the thing that grabs them like that. But my request or my invitation to them is to make themselves willing to have that thing find them. And it doesn't have to be some psycho, crazy winter surfing type of thing. You know, you could be the best chess player in the world just waiting to discover that about him or herself. You know, it could be any number of things. That thing is waiting to discover you and is waiting for you to discover it. And when you discover what your passion is, then it will start to make decisions for you. It will start to lead you. Right? It will be the vision that makes your decision. So thanks for listening. I'm going to go ahead and cut that off. This is another edition of Addiction and Redemption brought to you by Keenest Coaching. I'm Dave Keenest. Have a beautiful day. Bye.